Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. Next time you essentially want to ensure that you share your FICA details with the bank, know that it's critical to ensure that the protection of your information, identification of who you are, and allocation of your funding does correlate with the bank's systems. But there's a growing frustration right now that what we essentially see when it comes to our Department of Home Affairs could be causing some challenges for our local banks. Time Bank, in particular, is one institution that has made a call on government to reverse a crippling increase in the identity verification fee, and that's set to go up by 6,500%. To help contextualize this and help us understand Time Bank's positioning on this is the co-founder and CEO of Time Bank, Konrad Jonker. Such a pleasure to have you, Meneer Jonker. Welcome to the show.
Good. Nice to chat with you again.
Oh, fantastic. I'm excited about this conversation, but also concerned, I guess, by the topic that we are discussing. And maybe before we get into the calls that Time Bank has made, remind us of the critical relationship that exists between banking institutions like yours, as well as the Department of Home Affairs, specifically when it comes to client verification data and complying with FICA.
Gugu, yes, this is such an important thing for the entire banking system, but not just for banks, for telcos, for retailers, for lenders, because we rely on the Home Affairs database as the single source of truth that makes sure that we know that when we're dealing with you, that we're dealing with the right person, that we can identify you accurately. And so we use this not just for account opening. We use this for a number of security checks in different circumstances. We use it when a customer loses their credentials, and it's one of the three key things that we rely on government to do for a digitally transformed and inclusive economy.
Mm-hmm. And this is also critical, especially when it comes to the full ecosystem of finances, if I'm not mistaken, especially if we consider disclosures to the CIPC, even to SARS in terms of tax payments as well. So this is a really critical point and partnership that banks have with the Department of Home Affairs. Am I correct?
100%. All those users, and very key, you know, South Africa's on the grey list at the moment. We're trying to get off. This is a key piece of infrastructure to ensure we meet our international obligations as a country.
Mm-hmm. Let's get down to the nub of the issue and the frustration that Time Bank, together with your peers in the industry, have shared to the Minister of Home Affairs, as well as an urgent appeal to the President. I understand this is related to a rolling out of an updated online verification system, which is set to take place at the beginning of next month. Help us contextualize this. And then that increase in the fee, which many of us as South Africans would agree is beyond exorbitant.
Yes, Gugu. So we need this sort of public infrastructure that government provides to be two things. We need it to be reliable and we need it to be affordable. Now, on the reliability side, the minister himself says the system currently is down about 50% of the time. Hmm. So we can agree that we're not meeting the requirement there. It needs to be up more than 99.9% of the time to meet international best practice.
Yes.
The second thing is that it has to be affordable. And there, the government was performing quite well. Until now, they were comparable with the most inclusive countries in the world, like Peru. The new price is almost double the price of the most expensive peer group companies like Pakistan.
Sure.
So they've gone from cheap and unreliable. Now they're saying it's going to be reliable, but they've really ripped the ring on the pricing.
Let's talk about it. 6,500 Rand, 500%, I beg your pardon. I'm using the wrong metric. But typically we see increases that are related to inflation or double digit. But this, have they been able to substantiate what falls and what makes up the substantial increase in the costing?
Gugu, we have not had any detailed breakdown of this. They've simply said that the new system will cost up to 2 billion Rand.
Sure.
That's a number that, based on what we know, seems completely out of whack with what we would have expected. This is a database lookup. So, you know, we build an entire bank with a core banking system, with payments, with front-end systems, integrations into other systems for less than that. So we haven't seen any justification, and the number on the face of it just doesn't look right to us.
I would completely agree. And I guess before many people think that we're just putting Home Affairs into a corner, I must disclose that we have offered them a right of reply. We have yet to receive a response, but we'll keep pushing them to get some feedback on that in terms of the cost. And I guess, you know, as you've highlighted, for many of us, this does come as a surprise, even to you as industry players with a closer understanding of the cost structure as well as what is required. You've made this urgent call to the minister and the president. Help us understand, you know, what further action you're hoping will come about before this new system is implemented on the 1st of July.
Yes, so we're in injury time now.
Yeah.
We have been trying to speak to the minister. First, we sent a letter to the minister, then this open letter that I sent raising our concerns. We still have not had any reply from the minister or any attempt to speak to us.
Sure.
Why he wouldn't speak to us, we're not sure. But we believe that there is something constructive to be done here. Mm. You know, we've offered on a number of occasions in the past to help Home Affairs at a technical level to build something that is a lot more cost effective and a lot more reliable. We are again making the offer to say, let us help, let us do something here between the private and the public sector that doesn't only have a sort of South Africa limp along and be okay. We can do something that can make us world leading. We've got the capabilities, we've got the technical skills, and let's help each other. And let's build something that works for all South Africans, but particularly something that works for the poorest and most vulnerable customers who we serve.
I'll tell you what, if we win with the Department of Home Affairs, we'll be sure to push them in your direction to make sure that those conversations do take place. But let's underscore this help, Konrad, because I'm quite keen to understand what it looks like, what expertise the industry has. Is TymeBank working in partnership as well with a few players in the industry? But what does this assistance look like, and what could the more favorable outcomes be?
Yes, you know, there are many options here. The one set of solutions are simply to look at more sensible pricing solutions, more sensible price increase solutions and so on. So that's more on the commercial side. The side that is interesting is the more technical side, is that we can actually contribute and help to building a database that is best in class, that is super cost efficient, and that that can handle very high volume real-time lookups, because that's what we do.
Yes.
Now, the world is going to be real-time. In, you know, TymeBank is real-time. As you know, you go to a kiosk or you go to your phone, you open a bank account in 3 minutes.
Literally.
The direction taken here by the Department of Home Affairs says, no, what we'll do is we'll make real-time extremely expensive, but then we'll make overnight batch processes cheap. But we don't work overnight batch. We work real-time. Our customers want real-time. Mm-hmm. If we have to work overnight batch, it means we can't open our customer's bank account and give them that card right away. They have to come to the kiosk back tomorrow. So they have to open a bank account, then they have to go back home, and tomorrow they have to travel all the way back to the kiosk just to collect them their card, because we're only sort of checking that they are who they say they are overnight. And those are the kinds of approaches that, number one, they are the solutions of a decade ago, and number two, South Africans deserve better.
100%. 100%. And I'm glad you mentioned this, because we have seen policy shifts and ongoing engagement even from the SARB in terms of advancements, specifically when it comes to payments. So that real time is something that's critical for the banks and institutions, and Home Affairs does need to come on board. What I'm also intrigued to understand, as you say, we have yet to hear feedback from Home Affairs. Ongoing engagements will take place. You are offering assistance as a company and as an industry. But let's talk about these costs, because in as much as we're optimistic, we also need to plan for the worst case scenario. Should this go ahead, what does it mean for an institution like yours, and more so customers like us who currently might not have banking fees with TymeBank because you use your account appropriately, but what are the unforeseen consequences?
Gugu, this is about the reality of microeconomics and unit economics.
Yes.
So we currently able to serve a SRD grant recipient profitably because we have worked hard to build a business that is efficient, cost efficient enough that can actually serve that customer profitably.
Mm.
Now, if we get a cost like this put on top of our current cost, that customer becomes unprofitable to us. And we've got one of two options. The one option is we simply raise our fees. And we know that many of our customers will then stop using the account or will use it less and less because it's too expensive.
Yes.
The second option we have is that we cross-subsidize a loss-making customer with our other customers. The problem with that is no private sector company can do that for very long. Our shareholders just won't allow us to run a piece of the business that is loss-making. So either way, it is unsustainable. The job we've done and the job that we need government to help us do is to serve poor customers profitably while charging them very low costs.
Oh, yeah.
And we can only do that if we do that in partnership. We keep our costs very low. We work very hard to do that. And government must do their part.
100%. And I think it also kills the innovation that we actually see in the industry, where banks and institutions like yourselves have found innovative ways of cutting costs, but now there's no incentive to actually support that level of growth. What I'm also keen to see, and I guess this is in as we shift towards an operational update in terms of your competitiveness, you know, providing low banking fees and at points no banking fees for anyone who uses their account actively with TymeBank. Where are we now with TymeBank? 10 million customers, I believe, was the last reading we had the last time we spoke. Is there growth? I know your product offering has also been expanding. So I'm sneaking this one in here, Goodrad, if we may.
Thanks for asking. Now, we now at about 11.3 million customers,
mm-hmm.
Growing very nicely. We are in the process of, you know, constantly improving our proposition. We've got some exciting new product extensions coming in the next 12 months. So all in all, we're really very happy with how the business is progressing. And we also, as you know, expanding internationally. So we're doing very well in the Philippines. We're now both the fastest growing bank and the most loved bank in the Philippines. Our net promoter score is about 20 points higher than the next competitor.
Sure.
So we really think, you know, that the kinds of things we're doing, it's a lot of fun. We are serving customers well. And we hope that we can work with the minister and other players to solve these problems that we've discussed this evening so that we can keep serving customers better and better.
Definitely. What about business banking? That's also an avenue that you expanded into recently.
That's right. So we do a lot of lending in the SME market. We're currently lending to about 70,000 small and micro businesses. We also have a sole proprietor account that's doing very well and helping customers. And we will continue to also expand our services particularly for small and micro businesses.
Fantastic. Goodrad, I think I've snuck in a few extra questions there, but really appreciate the feedback that you've given us and looking forward to the innovation and most importantly, positive outcomes with the Department of Home Affairs. Thank you again for your time this evening, sir.
Thank you, Gugu.
Thank you. Goodrad Jonker is co-founder and CEO of TymeBank, Time Group, joining us this evening to give us some feedback on TymeBank. Critical calls, as you've heard, and it's not just TymeBank, many other peers, but it's almost like someone baking bread using wheat from their backyard, right? Trusting the rain, having an irrigation system in place, and then a water regulator decides to say, here's an increase in the cost of water that you use to actually water your wheat and your crop. You're trying to build a cost-effective business which offers value to customers at much cheaper rates. But if the operational costs and expenses just shoot the lights out, I mean, 6,500%, Looks pretty as a salary increase, but as banking and operational costs? Maybe not. But share your thoughts with us on this one. 063-688-0959. Happy to hear your thoughts on the back of TymeBank calling on the government to reverse the crippling increase in identity verification fees up by 6,500%. We have reached out to the Department of Home Affairs. We have yet to have a response to them. However, our door is always open for a right of reply.
Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.